I'm Marco Werman, and it's The World. One of the critical things Donald Trump will face when he takes office next month is how to handle the undocumented immigrants who live in the U.S. He's given conflicting signals on that, and it's still hard to say how some of his proposals would even work. Israel is also dealing with a similar situation on a smaller scale, thousands of African migrants who've made their way there. Most of them are Eritreans fleeing a harsh military dictatorship. Now, it's rare for Israel to grant these migrants asylum. Instead, it offers incentives for them to leave. But when they go, they sometimes leave their families behind. Daniela Cheslow has a story from Tel Aviv.
3-year-old Natanael jumps on the bed he shares with his brother and his mom, Bruchti Gebru. It takes up nearly all the space in their one-room apartment in South Tel Aviv. The bathroom and kitchen are in a courtyard outside. Bruchti says she left Eritrea in 2010 to escape mandatory lifelong military service as an army cook. Men and women are drafted there indefinitely. She made her way through Egypt and into Israel, where she met her husband, also Eritrean. But this February, he disappeared. At first, Bruchti chalked it up to schedules. They both worked as cleaners and sometimes didn't see each other for days.
The landlord came to collect the rent, and I didn't have money, so I went to get my bank card, and it was gone. And then I asked my friends, "Where's my bank card?" And then I said, "Where's my husband?" They said, "He's in Africa."
Bruchti says she hasn't heard from him since. She's one of dozens, possibly hundreds, of Eritrean women whose husbands have gone missing. But there is a place where you can find some of them. I recently visited the Ministry of Interior early one morning, and every few minutes, men from Eritrea would walk down a hallway marked Voluntary Return. Over the past decade, more than 60,000 asylum seekers from Sudan and Eritrea have crossed into Israel. The government doesn't deport them, but it does make it uncomfortable for them to stay. Israel built a detention center in the desert. And a few years back, Israel also started offering migrants $3,500 and a one-way ticket home. Or they can go to Rwanda or Uganda, which reportedly have signed secret deals with Israel to accept them. More than 2,000 people have taken that offer. A ministry official who wouldn't speak on tape told me that when women come to ask about their missing husbands, he's not authorized to give them any information. Helen Tagane runs an aid organization for Eritrean women here. As her daughter plays in the courtyard, Helen tells me there are about 500 Eritrean single mothers in Israel now. It's impossible to know how many of their husbands are still in Israel or whether they went abroad. But she says when the men go, they clean out the family bank accounts.
They need the money just maybe to move to Europe or to stay in the country who they will be living there. Most of them, they choose to do not tell to their wife.
Sometimes the men get in touch. One woman told me her husband disappeared and then contacted her from Las Vegas. She's trying to join him there with their son. Israel says the migration policies help discourage other Africans from trying to enter the country illegally, and that the country is too small to handle thousands of migrants. But critics here say a nation like Israel, founded by refugees, has a special obligation to help out, and they've challenged the policies in court. On Saturdays, Bruchti goes to St. Mary's Church in southern Tel Aviv. There are a lot of single mothers here from Eritrea. She closes her eyes and prays while her two kids play with a smartphone under the chairs. Bruchti says life is harder now, but she tries to give her kids a normal childhood. In October, Israelis observed Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Almost all Israelis avoid driving on that holiday, and kids on bikes take over the streets. Bruchti says her boys asked her, why didn't they have bikes? So she borrowed about $200 from a friend and bought them each a two-wheeler. She told them they were gifts from their father. For The World, Daniela Cheslow, Tel Aviv.
You can see some beautiful photos of Bruchti and her boys at PRI.org.